My name is John Micah, and I'm one of the ministers here on staff at the Hendersonville Church. Les, our preaching minister, is on vacation this week, and he is currently preaching and teaching through 1 Corinthians in a much larger series that you see on the screen that we're calling Experiencing the Journey. And if it's helpful to you, know that this morning is part one of part two. And as a brief side note, it may look to you very quickly and feel as I'm speaking from a really obscure place in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, but I would ask you to do this. Keep in mind the scenario that Leslie has continued to lay out. Paul is speaking to a community as though they are infants in Christ. He's been addressing their division. He's been addressing sexual morality. He's been addressing lawsuits. And now he's going to be diving into offering some practical wisdom regarding marriage and regarding being single. Here's the plea I want to make with you, though. If we're not careful, we miss the hidden gem in this passage because all we see is the conversation about marriage and being single. So just as a reminder, you and I are reading a letter in another language, by the way, that was written to a specific community in Corinth thousands of years ago in a specific time and a specific space that is much different than the space that you and I dwell in. And Paul is corresponding back and forth with a church that is on a journey. And you and I are not privy to their entire conversation because we don't have all the letters. But here's what I would like for you to allow me to do today. And that is, let's join Paul, if you would, on a road trip. And let's think of Paul just for a few minutes as a GPS, as he provides practical wisdom for this journey that you and I call life. And we're listening in as he's responding to concerns that he has for this church body. And he's answering questions that have been asked by a community that is in the process of forming into the church that God has called them to be. And Paul's entire desire for this church body is that they flourish in this life. And I believe that our passage this morning, while it was written to them, has much to say to the church in 2019 in regard to experiencing the journey. I'd love nothing more than for us just to listen in today. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for today. And Father, quite specifically, I thank you for the church body, the community of Corinth that existed so many thousands of years ago. And I'm thankful for the dialogue that your servant Paul had back and forth with them. And I'm thankful for the concern that he had for them as he helped them to grow to become the people that you called them to be, which reminds me of our community now. So, Father, I thank you specifically for the church here at Hendersonville, for this community, for our place in this story, that you be with us, as I know that you are, as we continue to grow into the church that you have called us to be. So, Father, we're grateful for your presence. We're grateful for the presence of your Son, and we're grateful for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. If you want to, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 7, 29 through 35. I'm going to read the passage again. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is this, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as they do not, and those who mourn as if they did not, and those who are happy as if they were not, and those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use things in the world or of the world as if they were not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. And my concern for you is this. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs. how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of the world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how to please her husband. And I'm saying all of this for your own good, for your benefit, if you will. Not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. Just for a moment, if you will, imagine life if we were to live it in undivided devotion to the Lord. The date had come. It was finally here. You were both filled with nervous anxiety about the date, but your date had finally happened, and as you and your date walked up to the restaurant, you saw the sign on the door that read, "Temporarily closed for renovations." You were already nervous. You were flying for the first time, and motion sickness had already kicked in before the plane had even taken off. When the captain of the plane, now in flight, comes over the loudspeaker to say, "Buckle up. We are about to experience some temporary turbulence. Maybe the dentist has just finished completing your third root canal this month. And she was briefing you on the next few hours and reminded you that your face would remain numb for a bit longer. But not to fear, the medication and the side effects of it were only temporary. Maybe you were one of the 16 million people who tuned in this past Thursday to watch the much anticipated Series 3 of Stranger Things. Yes, some of you were amongst the 16 million, including me. You clicked your controller to access Netflix, only to have a message read across your screen, "Sorry, Netflix is temporarily unavailable." And as devastated as you may have been about the restaurant, it was not the end of the world. It was mild discomfort for a few moments, and you experienced immediate relief knowing that it was not permanent. No, Chick-fil-A would open again. Yes. And while the captain was correct, the turbulence was indeed short. It lasted long enough for you to utilize the special brown bag for moments just like that. And you were more excited to finally land. And alas, the medication that you did not enjoy eventually wore off several hours later, as you felt like the side of your face was hanging several inches lower than normal. And whether we experienced immediate frustration or unexpected fear or an odd sensation in our face, we knew that the circumstance was not permanent. And as a result, it changed our perspective or our perception of that said event. In other words, you and I as human beings have a grasp on the word temporary, and we know what it implies in most circumstances, and it means this, that whatever it was is short-lived. That whatever it is or was is only going to exist for a short period of time. It, in fact, would not last. And our friend Paul, he opens your car door up, and he lets you in. And he fastens his seatbelt when he gets in the car, and he adjusts his mirrors, and he starts the engine with the simple push of a button. And he says, "Let's ride for a bit." And we travel with Paul on this road trip, and we travel down an ancient but relevant road. And Paul isn't going out of his way on this journey to offer unlicensed marriage counseling, but they asked him, so he provides some answers. Sometimes in the form of a command, sometimes, as you read, in the form of his opinions. And as a navigation system, he isn't telling single people, unmarried or widows, that marriage is a dead end and to never go down that road. But nor is Paul unfolding a map detailing every aspect and terrain of divorce, circumcision, unbelievers and believers, being engaged, or slavery in that day. In other words, this is not an exhaustive list that Paul is working through. And then Paul says, look, don't miss it. As we pass under a sign that says marriage is honorable and being single is honorable, and we keep driving. But listen closely to Paul as the GPS, and we experience some recalculations. It's as if Paul takes a detour from the questions and provides much deeper wisdom into our life. And we hear Paul gently say, what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that time, as you and I know it, is short. And we pass under another sign that says, it's all temporary. And in an instant, he puts time as you and I know it into perspective. You see, this journey is more often like a roller coaster, filled with twists and turns. And if you and I are not careful, we simply miss the signs. But wouldn't some perspective be nice? Wouldn't some instant wisdom be nice? Wouldn't some practical advice on these things be helpful? And by the way, we haven't even discussed the terrain yet. Sometimes the road is paved, sometimes we hit potholes, and other times we simply just go off road. Life gets complicated. It's full of interruptions, it's full of diversions, and it's full of distractions. Paul, what can you tell us about the road ahead? And our guide, with his kingdom perspective and captive audience in the vehicle with him, offers some examples or directions, if you will. He says, remember, time as you know it is short. Those who have wives should live as they don't. And those who mourn, live as if they did not. And those who are happy, live as if they were not. And those who buy things, live life in such a way that those things are not theirs to keep. Paul, wait a second, did you just say, and those who use the things of this world live in such a way as not to be engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. And you and I look at each other. We glance back and forth. We glance back at Paul. He grins. He never takes his eyes off the road. And then you and I sit in a moment of silence as we ponder this new perspective. We're taken back, if we're honest. Maybe even a little bit bewildered, maybe even a little bit shocked. Paul, wait just a second. Slow the vehicle down. I'm getting a bit carsick and a bit confused about your words. We had more questions about marriage and more questions about being single and more questions about divorce. What are you even talking about? And Paul replies, weren't you listening? Time, as you know it, is temporary. But Paul, you said those of us who have wives should live as we don't. We don't understand. Perspective. Put all these things, all of your life, into perspective. Time is of the essence. There's no time to waste. So don't complicate your lives unnecessarily. Keep it simple. I don't mean that you should simply neglect your spouse as if they didn't exist. That would be a silly home. Keep your earthly relationships in perspective. They're not your primary focus. I don't mean that those who are grieving shouldn't grieve. In the midst of your grieving, keep it in perspective. Don't allow it to become your life and to overcome you. I don't mean that those who are experiencing happiness should simply stop. No, rejoice and keep your happiness in perspective. It's not the goal. I don't mean that you should stop buying things, but keep those material things that you're buying in perspective. Don't invest your life in them. They don't define you. And by the way, they won't last. I don't mean that you'll never be involved in worldly things or that you shouldn't. Simply remember to keep your attachments to this world into perspective, because it's all temporary. Okay. So, Paul, let me get this right. What you're saying is that everything is temporary. Yes. So what's the point of this whole journey then? What's the point of this life? How are you and I supposed to make sense? How are we supposed to make sense of this journey that we're on if everything is temporary? Paul, I'm trying to wrap my mind around this perspective of yours. And again, Paul, with the gentleness of a father, says, please listen. I don't want you to become so absorbed in matters of the world that you forget that there are more important things, more important matters to consider while you're here. It's so easy to become distracted and to look away. It's so easy to look away from the things in this world. It's so easy to remove our eyes and our ears from the things that really matter. And Paul takes his foot off the accelerator just for a moment. He pulls off at exit 32. And he pulls into the parking lot of a gas station called Thorn in My Flesh. And he groans a bit. And he parks the vehicle. And he takes a deep breath. And he looks you in the eyes. And he says, if we're not careful, our interest and the life circumstances have a tendency to consume us. And he says, just pause. And think about the things that your life revolves around. So do that. Just pause. Think about the things that your life revolves around. They're not bad things, not always. What's at the center of your devotion? Where do you put all of your time and your energy and your resources? In what ways do all of those investments that you've been pouring your entire life into honor God? Paul says, I simply want you to be free from the concerns of this world. I want you to live in such a way that you keep everything into perspective. Remember the marriage conversation that we were having? Think about it like this. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world and how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. And an unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and in spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. And I'm saying this for your own good. Again, just for your own benefit. But that you may live in a right way with undivided devotion to the Lord. So no. Paul grins again. I don't think it's impossible to simultaneously serve both Lord and your spouse. Don't look down on marriage. It's not about getting married or not getting married. I simply want you to think wisely and clearly with the mind of Christ about all the delicate issues that you're wading through. And again, my insight is for your benefit. I'm not trying to restrict you or tighten the seatbelt that's wrapped around you as we speak. If you're following me, when we have an unhealthy attachment to the matters of this world, when our interests and loyalties are divided, there are implications, and the world around us suffers. But Paul, please forgive my limited vision. What on earth are these matters that you keep referring to? Oh, child. As agents of Christ Jesus, as kingdom citizens, you are part of the redemption plan. You're part of helping set things right. This is who you were called to be. Your adversary, our adversary, and the voices of the dark powers that be are whispering in your ears as we speak and telling you that you are unworthy and that you are incapable and that you are incompetent to fulfill this mission. But remember, you have access to a power that is bigger than any of these powers. I'm speaking from experience, Paul says. My eyes were unexpectedly opened on a road trip. I want your eyes to be opened as well. I want you to be troubled by the things that God is troubled by. I want you to be agents of peace and justice and mercy. I want you to be concerned about the poor, not as if they don't exist. Acknowledge them when you walk by them. Acknowledge them when you drive by them. Assist them. I want you to be heartbroken for those that are detained and held captive and abused. Hear their cries and act. I want you to be advocates for those who cannot see, who cannot hear, and who cannot move their legs. Pray for their healing. I want you to be outraged about those who are being oppressed and marginalized. Be their voice when they have none. I want you to live with kingdom matters in sight, not oblivious to them. I want you to live with an awareness of the kingdom, not be distracted from it. I want you to live unhindered in such a way that you can live in undivided devotion to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, it's a little bit quieter in the car. There's this awkward, peaceful silence, maybe an awkward silence depending on your personality. It's looming. Our hearts and minds are burning and churning as we ponder the images in our minds. Paul's unexpected pastoral care and wisdom is sinking in, and Paul has made it clear that normal affairs of this life, matters and concerns that exist in this lifetime, he's not encouraging us to escape from them or to turn our backs on them. And then we drift into some thought. Imagine life if it were lived in undivided attention to the Lord. And if we think long enough about our spiritual ancestors, we were reminded of another road trip, an ancient road trip, and we hear the words of the Shema that Stan read this morning. Paul knew the words well, and he knew how important it was to be intentional about life, and his wisdom that he's given the Corinthians isn't random. In fact, he's alluding to Israel, people who were also instructed on how to live with an undivided heart. And then you and I begin to hear the echoes of Moses, the GPS of Israel on this road trip, traveling with Israel, pausing to tell them how the affairs of the Lord were to be kept on their minds fresh and on their hearts and for their families for generations to come. And he says, this is how you stay attached to the kingdom and to the affairs of the Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the one. The Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the very door frames of your houses and on your gates. And when the Lord brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of food that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards with olive groves that you did not plant. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. Don't get attached and distracted, in other words. Remember who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord. Serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you, for the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and all his stipulations and decrees he has given you. And then Moses starts to sound an awful lot like Paul, or Paul starts to sound an awful lot like Moses. Do what is right, do what is good in the sight of the Lord, so that it may go well with you, and you may go and take over the good land that the Lord has promised you on oath to your ancestors. You and I are not the first to navigate the struggle when it comes down to our hearts being divided. And just when you and I begin to wonder if it's even possible to live this life that Paul is describing, you and I are reminded of this wonderful person named Jesus. And he was involved in worldly affairs, by the way. He had a family and friends and relationships. He had a job and he had income. He had bills to pay. He bought food at the market, and he probably helped Mary prepare his fair share of meals. And he traveled with friends from city to city. He understood the perspective that Paul is talking about all too well, and he lived his entire life with that perspective in mind. And as followers of Jesus, we hear his words when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Everything that you and I know hinges on these two commandments. Love God, love others. May we be people who know that things have a temporary significance. May we be people who live in rhythm with the Lord's affairs and keep the rhythms of the world in perspective. May the church at Hendersonville be people, may we, the church at Hendersonville, be people who live free, unrestrained, attentive, and aware of the mission at hand. And may you live out your calling wherever you are, in whatever circumstances you find yourself in. And may we live, as Paul urges, with undivided attention to the Lord. If you are here this morning and you have that struggle, which all of us do, by the way, and maybe you're at a point in life where it is choking you out of just the very breath in your life, and you are fighting within this realm in regards to the division in your heart, which we all do. Maybe you simply need prayers. Maybe you're simply someone who is here who has decided to put Jesus on in baptism for the very first time and enter into this road trip and on this journey with others. We ask that you come and stand as we sing.